No, it really is a joy. I love baptismal services, and I love it when they take the plunge, and I always think I'd love to join them. But doctrinally, I don't know how that stands to be baptized twice, but anyway. I just want to just share some verses from Acts chapter 8, and it's about the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, and Philip, the evangelist. How grateful we are for evangelists that come along our ways. I was recently at Quinta, the conference, New Life Conference, and I saw a face that I'd not seen, well, I've seen some years ago, but I remember him when I was 18. And it was when I first responded to the Lord Jesus in my heart, and it was a guy called Keith Kelly. And when you see a face, you think, ah, doesn't the Lord put evangelists on our path? Do you think in the Pilgrim's Progress, there's a character called Evangelist? The other character's called Christian. I think the Lord amazingly puts evangelists on our path in some ways to stir things and for us to respond. And I thought, Keith, well, I did tell him some years ago that some lad responded to your booming voice in a tent mission down in Exeter and still going on. So the Lord's faithful, isn't he? Amen. And I believe that the three people being baptized today, the Lord is so faithful to you and faithful that I'm sure you've heard his word over the years and responded to it. So just a few things on baptism. What is baptism? I was just thinking in these last couple of weeks about two elements that are just really, really key elements to baptism. That is faith and repentance. The more I think about it, the more I've just dwelt on thinking about baptism, how important it is. But repentance is a key theme to baptism. It really is. And it's a place where you do come to, and it's often at the lowest ebb. A life can be at the lowest ebb, but it's at that point when the Lord has stirred your heart that you respond to him and give it all to him. And you change direction. I love it that in the New Testament it almost gives a kind of a picture of, it's not just a change of direction, we heard about that recently at the conference, but it's a change of mind. It's a total change of mind. And that is a wonderful thing. It's something that we need to remember in repentance. It's a wonderful gift. And repentance goes on. It goes on. And the other thing is obviously repentance being keen is one of the key things. And I just want to read these verses to you in Acts chapter 8. It says this. Now an angel of the Lord, chapter 8 verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And back in those days, it was quite common practice for people to read out loud. I think we've gone a little bit quiet these days in reading things out. It's really healthy to read out loud. Anyway, for them it was a normal custom, and I think, well, great, because he overheard. So he was reading from Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself? Or some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth. I'm getting excited. And beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, so here is water. Out there is a pool. The water doesn't have any magical quality. It's fairly warm, but it's just normal water. It's a normal pool. So, similar. The Ethiopian said, here is some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I find it an amazing story. I've just read it over and read it over. I have slow processing, so I have to keep reading it over. But it's an incredible thing. And we sometimes focus on the last element, which is, where's their water? I want to get baptized. But there's so much more leading up to it. And I thought about 3 points, okay, which I've gone with. And I just thought, if there are 3 points that those who are being baptized today could just take away with them, then wonderful. You guys can listen in too, all right? But just in the early verses, I found it interesting that this guy, the Ethiopian, was traveling back from Jerusalem, which is a place of worship. And I was thinking, well, I think this man actually was almost a bit of a, he feared God in some sense, because he was in Jerusalem where they worship. So I think he had some sense of a belief in God, but I'm not sure how much. Okay? But something dramatic happened to him. And it says this, and I was thinking about, where is it? Verse 27, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her treasury. Now this guy had so much, he probably had quite a lot of wealth, he had quite a lot of things to lose, maybe some reputation, okay? And I find it amazing that he was putting all that aside. And I read this little commentary, and it said that whilst he was in Jerusalem, he could well have kind of almost bought for himself some of the Isaiah scripture. And I was kind of picturing this guy that he's already in Jerusalem. He's bought this sheet of, I think it's the suffering servant, which is Isaiah 52 and 53. And he bought those parchments. And then he sat in his chariot trying to understand what this says about Jesus. And then someone, the Lord, then actually comes and explains what it's about. That is an amazing thing. How does he do that to us? He does it to us the same today. He explains things. He takes time with us. He's wonderful. He wants to come alongside us. For those that are being baptized, he yearns to come alongside us. And today's a real public declaration of, I've decided, I've had enough of my life and I want to follow him. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, the kind of the meaning of repent is almost a bit of a, I'll try and do it, but it's almost a bit of a groan. It's almost a sad, repent means a, it also means a sigh, which is like a, and or a pant, which is like a, oh, that's a bad, they're all the same, aren't they? It's terrible, I needed someone to do some acting. But it gives an illustration of, when you're doing that, you're looking on your old life and you're sighing at what you've done. You're groaning at the hurt that you've caused and the wickedness of, and I know we've sung about the vilest offender who truly believes, but in a sense, it is that. The Old Testament meaning of repentance is to look back on it and just groan. And then what do you do with that look? You look to Jesus. He's the one that can take the sigh away, the groan away, the panting for wrong things, and he changes it. That's the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say about repentance? It says this, it's a total change of mind and direction. So you go from someone that's groaning and panting for the wrong things and sighing about the things that they've done wrong to then looking to the Lord Jesus, where he comes and radically changes your life, and there's a change of mind and a change of direction. Isn't that a wonderful truth? He can take away the groan of a heart. And it is a time when you do reflect, I think, of baptism. You're looking back on the, what's the chorus that we always sing when the people pop out the water? I have decided to follow Jesus. No. The change of direction is miraculous, and it's by the Lord's grace. But with it, amazingly, allows us enough free will to actually exercise something of a change of direction and mind. Wonderful truth. He takes our groan away. And what does he do in our heart? Well, I wrote this down. A sure sign of repentance is a heart's cry of mercy, not justice. Just go back to the reading here. This is about Jesus. Verse 32, the place in scripture which he read was this. Picture the Ethiopian on a chariot with another brother who was sent by an angel of the Lord. And he's reading this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. He opened not his mouth. If anyone could have opened his mouth and stopped things and stopped the accuser, it would have been Jesus. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. When you come to true repentance, your cry should be of mercy, not of justice. He replaces that in our hearts and he puts a cry of, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me." For those who are being baptized this morning, in a sense, they've come to a place of crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me." It may have come to them in the middle of the night. It may have come to them over a certain period of weeks. It may have come to them maybe at a conference, maybe in the quietness of their home. But the cry of justice would have gone, "I want this, I want that. You need to put these things right." And it's not. The cry should be of, "Oh mercy, have mercy on me, God." And from that place, Lord can do amazing things. And I believe and trust that the Lord will do amazing things like he's already done for those who've been baptized this morning. He has done wonderful things, hasn't he? Are people full of joy? It's a joy, isn't it? You know, we went to a wedding a couple of weeks ago, and usually they ask at the wedding, "Everyone who is here committed to praying for this couple, then please say aye." And they all went aye. Can I just challenge you all? Will you continue to pray for those that are being baptized this morning?
Aye.
Little bit louder.
Aye.
But in a sense, you know who's after their souls. Stand with them. Pray for them. Support them. The wicked one doesn't like it, but the Lord is so wonderful. He's here. Oh, and how he miraculously has changed their lives. It's a wonderful thing. So a sure sign of repentance is the heart cry will be for mercy. Not for what I've done, not all my attainment. It was all about me. It's not. It's, oh, arms wide open. Oh, the mercy of God. And the goodness of God that we've sung about. So a few conditions of baptism. Well, it really is having a heart that's just changed, repentant. "Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done." Do we often say that to one another? Do we often say that to the Lord? "Lord, I'm sorry." I think I heard recently, I don't know if it was spoken, but there's a gentleman called Tim Keller, who's now with the Lord, quite a prominent figure in America. And I listened to quite a few things that he says. He's very clear now he's with the Lord. But he said that he would, I think, it was mentioned recently, but he would have Tuesday mornings as his time to repent. Isn't that interesting? You may be thinking, oh, how does that line up with... But in a sense, he had time with the Lord where he said, "If there's anything that I've done wrong, Lord, take it away." And this morning is a public declaration of, "Oh Lord, I can't live without you any longer. This is it. You've changed my heart." Something was stirring in this Ethiopian's heart. And the Lord does that. Amazingly, he sent an angel to stir things. And I thought of three things before I finished. This is the first thing. I forgot my three main points. I said here, this is for the three of you. Be a worshipper. It says that he was traveling back from Jerusalem in a desert place on the way to Gaza. And he got interrupted. His life got interrupted by God. But after that, I believe he became a true worshipper. And I said this little verse here, God is not just found by seeking him in physical sites, like in a building, on a mountain or in a temple, but seeking him on the higher level of spirit and truth. He's seeking those that will worship him in spirit and truth. I believe this man went back and had an impact in his community. And he was high up. He had lots of connections. Amazing how the Lord does use that in some areas, and they become amazingly contagious with the love of the Lord and the gospel. So be a worshipper. Sing to him. Sing love songs to him. I sing on the way down to North Wales to Mold. Beautiful town. I've been told off recently for always taking a dig at Mold, but it's a lovely little place. But on my way down to work, you can sing to the Lord. I once had Matt Redman in the car and the window was down, and then the car came up beside me and he had his dance music on. He's going do, do, do. And it's like, oh no, the Lord's powerful than that. The noise of the world. Sing to him. He loves worshippers. Sing wherever you can. So he's seeking a worshipper, and that's from verse 27. The man had been to Jerusalem to worship. Number two, point two in verse 30, be a reader. Anyone here struggle with reading a little bit over time? Yeah, there's a few hands. There are different ways and means to read now. You can listen to things, which really helps, okay? But be a reader. Be someone that just wants to read the Lord's Word. There's so many different books out there, but I thought these are some key elements of stepping stones of obedience after baptism. Immerse yourself, read. The Lord will bring understanding like that, what happened in the chariot. He'll bring someone alongside to even help understand those words in scripture. Be a reader. Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light to my path. Oh, that's a wonderful verse, isn't it? He will do it. He will guide. He will be the lamp to thy feet. The third one, I put, be an inquirer. Oh, yeah. Be an inquirer. You know, this man's heart was stirred by the Lord, but he inquired of God. He was searching. He was searching, I think, in Jerusalem. He was searching in the chariot. And I think that the Lord loves a heart that inquires of him. He wants the people to inquire. Often we feel a little bit like, oh, I can't let my barriers down because it will look like I'm a bit silly. It can even be like in a meeting sometimes. Oh, I'm so fearful. I'll look a bit. The Lord wants a heart that's so open to inquire of him. Spend time with him to inquire of the Lord. It says here in Isaiah 55, I said a verse, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. We heard that from the Lord just now via Helen about a covenant. He will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear and come to me. It's very much a process. It's a discipline. It's something that sometimes I think takes hard work. It's finding a room in a house that can be so busy and noisy. Busy in a workplace, but I think the Lord just wants to find that little place of a chariot in your life where you're there, sat there, talking and thinking about what the Lord wants to do. Yeah, incline your ear. We have our ears often full of many things, and I'm talking to myself here, but oh, the quietness of being with the Lord and being in a position where you're just like this, a little bit down low here, and just resting here with your ear. Oh, the Lord loves it. He loves it. So be a worshipper. Be a reader. And be an inquirer of the Lord. Let me just go on. We'll finish just at the end here. And it says this. I think something really happened here that was, I know the desperation of the Ethiopian was, find me some water. But can you see the beautiful process before of just time spent with the Lord? You know, the reading, looking to him. And then it's like, give me water. And this morning I can't wait, but there's in a sense that there is water waiting. But the wonderful thing is the Lord has done so much of the groundwork before. Hearts, he's changed hearts. That's wonderful, isn't it? And then it says this near the end. It says, and now when they came up out of the water, which basically does mean that actually they went fully under the water, by the way. Sorry, I'm not doing the old doctrinal thing there, but they went fully under the water. And the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. I wondered if he was there saying, well, where's he gone? He's the guy that, he told me what the scriptures meant. He told me what... And what am I going to do now? It's not like that. The Lord never leaves you like that. He's the one that then takes control of your life. If you keep it yielded to him and incline your ear to him, he then just continues that wonderful walk with the Lord. And then he says this, and he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, what a finish. Will you get trials and tribulations? It's not an if, is it? It's more like a when. And it can sometimes come after making a public declaration of your love to the Lord Jesus. That's why pray for them. Pray for one another. But one thing that the Lord does, that when he comes into life, he does bring a heart rejoicing. He wants to bring them home rejoicing. Like a lamb on the shoulder. Oh, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? He will replace hurts and sorrows with a sense of rejoicing in the Lord. Maybe you've never thought about being baptized this morning. Maybe you've never even contemplated what it actually means. Oh, the key elements. A repentant heart. And then the wonderful exercise of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in him are the key elements. And today it's a real joy just to be able to share him with Tom, Lily and Molly. The Lord loves you and he wants to take you on further. Will he bring you into places where it's a squeeze and hardships? Well, he will. But you know that he's with you. And you know that amazingly around this time of baptism, you can actually ask that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in you. It's one thing about that baptism. It's a public declaration. There's water, which is very normal, a little bit warm. There's a few bits of things floating around, but don't worry about that. But around this time of baptism, you're really saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. This is the truth of it. For some it was before, for some after. You can get verses to back up both, but the bottom line is we need the Holy Spirit to come in and indwell and to go out rejoicing. That's what brings the rejoicing. Nothing of what we've done or attained or achieved. The rejoicing is the Holy Spirit, the real joy giver, bubbling up. And it both went for Philip, who went on to other places. You can read it in your own time. But he went off, man. The Lord whisked him away. He said, I've got work for you to do. There's no standing around saying, well, I've got this convert and I'm really chuffed with myself. And now they're back to... It's like, no, onwards, out. Don't dwell on the things that you've done really well. It's off, commissioned to do new things. And it's the same for the eunuch as well. It was back into his environment, his community, rejoicing. Oh, doesn't the community now need rejoicing? Doesn't this place, this land need it? Well, the Lord's the only one that brings it. And he wants the church and lives laid down. Anyway, I'm going off on one. We need to finish, don't we? No, I've got another hour, did you say, Roger? No, but just to encourage you, I am finishing now, but just to say, oh, keep going on. We are praying with you. The Lord wants, and he is building his church. He is. And how he's seeking lives that are yielded to him. Baptism really is a picture of a believer's identification with the death and resurrection of Christ. The believer is to receive the benefit of the cross of Christ, which is, and I've done a little list here, forgiveness of sins, union with Christ and his death, and the power over all sin through him. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the life and power of God. You can read about it in Acts and all over the place, but they are the key things. So I'll finish now. Shall I just pray? And if you feel stirred in your heart, I'm often stirred about the things of baptism. It's a wonderful ordinance. Then do talk with one another. Chat. Being inquire of the Lord, like the eunuch did. He just inquired of the Lord. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful faithfulness to us all. Lord, thank you for Tom, for Lily and Molly, Lord. And thank you for other hearts too that may be seeking this way, Lord, to go, may be challenged this morning. But Lord, above it all, we say thank you for the goodness of God. Lord, we thank you for loving us, that we can become worshippers of you, Lord. That we can read of you, Lord, and it's not just in word, Lord, it's deeds. We can read the deeds, Lord, of hearts and lives that love you, Lord. And we do inquire of you again this morning, Lord. Lord, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. We seek for your wonderful mercy and grace, Lord. Precious Lord. Amen.